Hello and welcome to Crank the Amp. I'm Aurora Krog and I'm here with Casey Cooper Fisk. Today we're talking about the most memorable gigs of 2016.
Okay, but first we're going to do Songs of the Week. So Aurora, what's your Song of the Week? This is going to become a regular feature now.
Okay, so my song of the week is I've Been Searching by Island, which is a group I randomly stumbled upon when I was at a showcase with my editor. And they are absolutely brilliant live, and this song is... It has this amazing riff, and it's very capturing for, mid-December feels. I don't know, this song... I just stumbled upon it and I realized this is a really great song, and that's why I picked it, because I think this is a band that I've seen twice just over the last week and a half, and they deserve a shout out because they're a great band who a lot more people should be aware of.
It's good to get some new names out there as well.
Yeah. So
that's your job, Aurora.
That's my job.
Anyway, I'm going back to the past. Back to 4 years, the year of our Lord, 2013,
bitches.
And Peace with Wraith. Now, I've just been having a massive Peace binge recently, and I've been trying to get everyone around me into them pretty much. And Aurora, I certainly don't need to get you into them. You're a big fan as well, aren't you? So
yeah, you'll
know that
brilliant.
This song lyrically is spot on, if a little smutty, but
definitely spot on.
It's got a fantastic riff. I love the guitar work with all the Peace records. I think it's very unique. Almost lead driven, I would say. There's not much of a rhythm, but a sort of riff in there. It's more of a lead guitar riff almost through Peace songs, I find.
Yeah, they have very brilliant guitar work in the way. Doug and Koi's a marvellous duo with that.
Yeah, they do. They team up well. And there's a nice wall of feedback on occasions as well. They can control feedback well, I feel.
Yeah, great feedback.
Great feedback. And that's why we're giving them good feedback.
Good feedback. Oh, God, we're so cheesy. And also not undermining the power of Sam Koiser, the marvellous bass player of Peace.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a lot of talk of bass players recently, some good and some bad.
Yeah. And, but him, though, oh, my God, the bass solo at World Pleasure. I want to marry it and have kids with it. Anyway, it's the best gig of 2016.
I don't think I have a definitive gig of 2016. I don't think you do either. Aurora.
No, it's hard because it's been a phenomenal year, actually.
Yeah, it's very hard. The thing is, I would probably say Iggy Pop at Rock on Sen as my gig of the year.
Yeah, it was heavily featured in the last podcast.
Yeah,
so
I mean, I
definitely made an impression.
Yak at Scala, which also was mentioned in the last podcast as well. And then they've got some older bands that I saw. Well, they are older bands. But, Iggy is. But, Television at Brixton Electric was quite fantastic to see them sort of still churning out. Nearly 67 year old.
I'm not really familiar with them, so can you elaborate?
A New York band had Richard Hell in their number at one stage. Influenced people like The Strokes, the AAAs, all that sort of scene, if you like. So, what about you?
What about me? I had this insane epiphany at Grimes at Roskilde, so that will be probably the most outstanding gig for me.
I've also listed Grimes at Latitude here because... I went to watch the Maccabees, who were headlining the night that I went to Latitude, and they were bloody awful, to be honest with you. And I heard some sort of screams coming from a tent and thought, that sounds good. So went over there, and there was Grimes, and that's pretty much where I discovered her. I saw her at Glastonbury on the telly beforehand. She looked pretty impressive there. But, yeah, it was really, really high energy, high octane.
Definitely. It's been quite a year for her since she won the Album of the Year from Enemy last year with her... is it her fourth album? Yeah, it's her fourth studio album called Art Angels.
Mm.
It's an absolute brilliant album, and it works so well live. And her live performance, I was very, very into her when I saw her. That's probably why this performance was so significant for me. But she's extremely intense. She goes into this persona, which is Grime, because her original name is Claire Brunchen. And she's quite shy, which is really spectacular how she can go from this very introvert person into this half-insane character that's just extremely, extremely good live. And she also have a really well-done team of dancers with her on this tour, which makes
the show.
With sort
of a big laser light.
Yeah.
Out of their hands, yeah. It's very good. Because the newest record is a lot different to her older stuff, which is a lot more mellow, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think her older stuff is also made in a different kind of... It's made in a different scene. And she was also very inspired by... It was the one that was inspired by a book, I'm not sure. But yeah,
possibly.
She's definitely progressed a lot. But she's a very interesting character because she produces and makes everything herself. And I respect that so much. I think she's an incredible, incredible woman in music, and she should be praised for all the effort she put into every aspect, both musically and visually.
Yeah, definitely. She's very exciting live, as we said. And
yeah,
that was another one I had on my list. What else have you got, Aurora, on your list?
I think my next one that I felt was really special was Tame Impala, actually. They've done quite a few really, really good shows this year, and I think they feature on your list as well.
Yes, we both went to the same gig, I believe.
Yeah, Ali Pali. Good old Ali Pali.
Yeah, the venue isn't great, I don't feel. I think it's my favourite venue.
The sound was so good.
The sound was very good, yes.
For this gig, it was absolutely amazing. And I was there alone, and we all know how you can feel a bit shit when you go to a gig alone. And then the music comes on, and it's just the most magical moment. And that was probably why this gig was so mind-blowing for me, because I didn't expect it.
There was moments where I was a bit let down at that gig, though. I didn't play some of the stuff I'd like to hear, some of the earlier stuff. It's kind of stuck to the new album quite heavily.
It was the tour for the new album, though.
New album's very good, but I'd like to have heard some of the earlier stuff.
Yeah,
definitely.
Like Alter Ego.
Yeah, or Half Full Glass of Wine. That's what
definitely.
I want to
hear.
Yeah. Who else have you got then, or I'll let you carry on?
Well, I have Wolf Alice at Nambuka, actually. They did a secret gig at this tiny venue up in Holloway. It was a 300-capacity gig, and this was when they were kind of... they had a major vibe going on, which was an absolute insane show. And they also did a request set, which was very interesting. Like, they played songs they'd rarely ever play live, like White Leather and such. So it was just very special in terms of that. And also all the profit of the gig went to helping refugees, which is something that is very dear to me. So I was like very, I respect the gig as well as seeing it as a marvelous live performance.
Wolf Alice, definitely one of those bands that just go up a notch when they're live, I feel.
Yeah, they're really amazing live. Though I remember, not remembering the first time I saw them, they didn't really make an impact, but they've grown so much since then. And now they're like probably one of Britain's best live bands, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think I definitely agree with that. Yeah, live. I mean, I was a little disappointed with the record. You have a different opinion on the record, but I think live, everyone has to agree, they're just fantastic. I've seen them twice live and they're really good.
Yeah, the live presence is absolutely magnificent. And I'm very much looking forward to what they have to bring on next year.
Yeah.
So any other ones from your list?
I would add, I think, to what I've got, probably The Kills at the London Roundhouse, just because the Roundhouse is one of my favourite venues, I think.
Oh, really?
I really love the Roundhouse, especially probably because that's the first time I saw Suede.
I've never been, but I've heard it's kind of shit.
But I really like it. It's a very interesting venue. But The Kills were just something that I really didn't know how it was going to transfer live. They've got a very strange sound. It's something between garage rock and almost electronica with
how
some of the,
work live?
The drum machine. Well, I was a bit disappointed with the crowd there, I must say. I think they could have jumped around a bit more. But, yeah, again, they're sort of... The Kills are sort of on a barrier, I feel, where they're in between the kind of jumpy sound and a more sort of melodic sort of sit
like
and listen sound.
They can be a bit sludgy.
Yeah, definitely. It's a good sludgy for me, but maybe not for you.
No, I'm... at times.
A lot of their newer stuff improved with the live performances. I wasn't too keen on the new album when I first heard it, but it's sort of grown on me after I've seen it live. And I think that's something with live performances. You tend to hear songs live that you don't particularly like on record, and then all of a sudden you go back and listen to them and really love them. I think that happened a lot with some of the stuff on some of the new Kills album. What else have I got on here? I've got the Orwells, which we both went to together, of course.
Yeah, Orwells at the Dome. That was...
It was interesting to go to the Dome, because that's somewhere I'd never been before.
Yeah, I've actually never been there either, so it was a first for both of us. And it's a very tiny venue.
It looked like a village hall.
Yeah.
Yeah, very wooden, like an ice rink after the beer had been spilt and the lead singer had climbed up onto the amp. So it was really high octane again and just good energy, wasn't it?
That's good energy.
That's
kind
the sort of gig
like
I like. That's the sort of gig that'll make my top
mosh pitting in anarchy.
Yeah, definitely. And struggling with your camera. But
well, you got the shot, so.
Yeah. I mean,
I got the shot.
You got the shot. No, I didn't get the shot.
No, you just enjoyed it.
Yeah. Then the other one I had on here was Telegram, who featured on my top five on the website earlier on last week. And their performance at Norwich Waterfront in the second venue, which is upstairs, very tiny venue. And they were really phenomenal. They really were. There's only about five, six people there, to be honest. But it really was great. They played a brilliant cover of David Bowie's Heroes, which was a brilliant tribute. I think it's probably one of the best covers I think I've heard of a Bowie song since his passing.
Interesting. Like, it can be very interesting when it's such an intimate setting as well.
I reckon. And especially when you don't have to queue for the bar either, and you can get back to exactly where you need to be.
That's always a great pleasure.
Yeah, I think the surprise gig of the year for me was... the all-female grunge band L7, who I saw at Rock on Seine for the first time, not knowing who they were, and they came out and played what I would later learn to be pretty much a greatest hit set, even though I didn't know what they were playing at the time. And the place went mental for them, to be honest with you. It was easily as good an atmosphere as it was with Iggy in the afternoon. So.
Sounds like a very giving festival.
It was a very good festival. It was a very good lineup. I don't think I'll see a lineup like that again for a long while. But we had Shadow Puppets I'll just talk you through it. Shadow Puppets headline on the first night, Massive Attack on the second night, and then I forget who it was, not saying Foals on the Sunday. Foals were very good. Foals were another surprise for me.
Foals has been very good this year. Yeah, I saw them at Roskilde, and though I had to run halfway through, it was an amazing set.
But another interesting one you've got there, or is Temples.
Yeah.
Performing some of their new stuff. So what does it sound like? Because most of us only heard the new single.
Yeah. Temples, for me, was very special because I've loved this band when I was in college. And finally seeing them live at Oslo was amazing. And they're actually such a great live band. They really surprised me by the quality of their set and how they are so coherent and well played together, even though they hadn't done a live set in such a long time when I saw them now. And they previewed a lot of new tracks, so that makes me very excited for the new album coming out next year. It sounded really good. They've definitely stepped it up from their debut, which is also a mind-blowing album. And it's cool to see some proper psych boys back in the scene. They definitely have something special.
They have a nice balance of psych and glam.
Yeah,
I feel.
Definitely. There is something special about the guitar work of Temples, I feel. Any other...
What else have I got on here? I've got the Libertines at Brixton Academy, which was an interesting gig. Very interesting. I mean, wasn't as good as the first time I saw the Libertines, which was more than a year ago now at Lollapalooza in Berlin. They were phenomenal that night, and for the Libertines, they were very on par. So I think they nailed everything. But this was a traditional Libertines gig at Brixton Academy. We had them not knowing what set list they were playing. Pete Doherty running around being chased by stage staff trying to play an acoustic guitar. They were playing at least 10 minutes, 20 minutes after the curfew, just acoustically. And it was just absolute mayhem on stage, really. They didn't really know what was going on. And that was kind of, after seeing such a spotless set at Lollapalooza, it was kind of good to see the real Libertines almost, if you know what I mean. And
there is a bit of recklessness that you kind of need for them.
The grittiness of them.
And finishing off with a gig we both went to, Jake Bugg at Brixton Academy.
Jake Bugg at Brixton Academy. That was interesting.
It was interesting, and it was very special for me, both because I was working that night, and it was one of the biggest gigs I have ever done. And I was absolutely terrified, as Casey, you can probably recall.
Yeah, I can recall.
So just having that for me was very special. And then the set was so good. It was a very, very, very well-balanced...
Touching and moving set, I believe, would be the words. It probably is.
It was definitely touching at times. I mean, I cried, which I do at gigs. But it was also a great balance between all the old material from his first album, second album, and third album in a very, very well-balanced mix. And I saw him last week as well, and I was missing that kind of balance, realizing then how good the Brixton set actually was. So that's why it now just made my list.
Excellent. Right, so that's all the gigs we've got there. So join us next week, when Aurora will be getting pregnant with a bass guitar.
Stop recording.